WWA. What's happening this morning, big guy?
Y'all headed down to ear doctor appointment this morning. Of course, my ear was infected back May 4th. So it's okay now, but I still got to go to the appointment.
Interesting how that works. They don't add on enough doctors to where you can get an appointment within about 3 or 4 days. You got to wait 2 weeks, and by the time you finally get to the doctor, they tell you, it's over now. You're either over it, or you're ready to be admitted in the hospital.
You go into the emergency room and get exposed to COVID-19. A lot of options there. Oh, yeah, they're very careful. I'll say that for them down there. But I was referred by two different sources to an ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctor, and it took this long to get in, so my doctor down at the VA actually referred me, and so did Dr. Lawrence, my civilian doctor. And it took that long to get into one due to this COVID virus thing, because they just weren't accepting any patients in the facility, I guess you'd say. They check your temperature and all that. You know, you've been around there.
What you mean? As a matter of fact, I finally broke down and bought myself one of those little handheld temperature guns. And everybody that came into the cookout a week or so ago handed them a mask and took their temperature before they came on in. Nobody seemed to mind. Matter of fact, you know, one of them says, well, that was a good idea.
That's an excellent idea. You got to protect your family. And this stuff is more contagious than anything we've ever experienced from what I've read and all. So kudos to you for that one.
I had exam gloves sitting out there too, but those were pretty much optional.
I just wonder about these kids going back to school. I think it's going to spread like wildfire, but it don't bother the children near as bad as a general rule. But now, for instance, there was a 7-year-old died last week with it, and I don't think he had any pre-existing conditions, so that's a big gamble. I hope it works out. They need to get back in school.
On the football thing, if they issued a COVID test and you check negative and you go into the system and stay within the boundaries of their restrictions and do not go outside those restrictions, and all the other teams do the same thing and continue to issue the COVID test, I don't understand why they can't have the football season or baseball season. But there again, you know how people are, and college football players are going to party, so, I don't know.
It's not just them, it's everybody associated with it, and it's the large groups that get together, and there's just no way to stop that. I can't see how in the world you could control it. Oh, good, this guy's changing lanes. He's pulling a trailer with a big truck. And to be honest with you, I don't like to be behind that, but now I'm behind another big truck. Oh, I'm here at 101 and Locust Hill Road, if you know where that's at, Steve. This is 0TR.
Yeah, bud, you're up north. I thought you was headed to a doctor's office.
Well, I live north of here, Steve, about 5 miles from Wade Hampton, straight north on 101. And that's pretty exact, too. I've I'm fanatic about seeing how many miles it is that I travel here and there, and just reset the odometer every time just for the fun of it. That way I get a good idea. But I'm supposed to be there at 8:45, and I probably got another 5 or 10 minutes, so I should be on time. I'm just going down to Greer, as you say, on Buncombe.
Yep. Well, I got to jump out for a minute. I got to put some go juice in this thing, or my E is going to turn up to a W. So let me jump out and pump some diesel here, bud. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Roger. You got to have that petrol. Feed the soddies. I guess not anymore. I guess we got plenty here, too. Anyways, you have a good day, Steve. I'll be at my destination here within 5 minutes, and their OTR's clear.
T-Mobile.
Okay, 4BWA. Hey, Bob.
Had to take a phone call, so I just got back on the road.
Yeah, I'm over here putting some go juice in my truck, and I'll be back on the road in just a minute.
Headed out of Easy, so I'll be around still yet. W4 and WB.
Hunter, let me get this thing pumped forward. I'll be back in a few minutes headed down to Simpleville. Or Simpsonville. Something like that. I'll be back in a minute. K4VWA clear.
Roger, roger. W4 and WB.
4 and WB. K4VWA, you there, Robbie?
W4VWA, W4 and WB, just a tooling along.
I used to travel about 60,000 miles a year for work. Now, I go when I want, and I don't usually go unless I'm going to go and have a good time. Today, I'm on a little road trip with three other guys going down to Columbia to check out FN. FN.
What's that?
Federal National Firearms Manufacturer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. That sounds like a good, fun trip.
Oh, yeah. We'll see what kind of goodies I can come back with, too.
sounds like a good day trip. I used to take those long trips, too. I used to travel all over the place and do building networks and viability testing and project management, and thank goodness those days are over. I don't exactly have your easy life, but mine's now manageable.
I know what you mean, and I'll tell you something, I am blessed. I've got it pretty doggone good, man, I'll tell you. But in the meantime, you ain't gonna ride down there, and I think, for me, Columbia or Charleston, that's just down the street. That's a day trip. I would go as far as Birmingham, work several hours, or maybe, 8 hours, and then turn around and drive back.
Long day. I used to sing in quartets and travel on the road, and 4 hours was easy. There were times where we went from Florida to Wisconsin, so it didn't matter, but yeah, if you were within 4 hours, that was an easy trip. So that's not too bad.
Do you know Rusty? I can't recall his call sign. N-U-T or N-4-N, something or other like that. But Rusty, he sings in a quartet too.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about that. I don't know him, though, personally. I did it. Well, I still do it somewhat. I got my own group now, but we don't sing hardly much at all. But I've been doing it since 1983.
Do you ever go to the competitions?
No, I do Southern Gospel, so ours is more of a ministry, definitely a ministry, has been, always has been. Done it to a lot of different churches and different denominations and all. I actually lead music at my church now, so I'm kind of tied up. Don't get to travel as much as I used to.
Oh, yeah. So where do you go to church?
I go to New Hope in Inman. It's on the First Street. And we've been going there since we moved up to Inman, I guess about four, let's see. No, 6 years. We've been going there almost 6 years. In this month, we will have been up there 6 years.
How about that? That's pretty good. Yep. Have you ever heard of Washington Baptist down there on 14?
Yeah, I know where that's at.
Well, I'm a member down there, and do you remember Steve Gillespie? He used to be the band teacher at Greer High School.
I don't know him.
Yeah, I don't know how they got a hold of him, but they just put him on as the music minister at our church.
Well, he ought to do an awesome job then. We're small. I play piano and try to lead. We have like a little praise team, and of course all that's just, we're just now getting kind of back on our feet, I guess you could say. We've been having services since the first part of July, but I hadn't really had all the praise team back up yet. So I think we're going to start rotating out, and I'm only keeping like four people on the roster at a time so we can spread out.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what, back in 2017, my mom came down with leukemia, and she just couldn't get out to the services, and she went to Five Forks Baptist Church down off of Woodard Road, and I suggested to them that they put the services online. Oh, they wouldn't hear of it. We'll lose membership, we'll lose donations, blah, 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 blah. That's not a good thing. Forget that. So my mom knew the pastor at my church, and he's a good man. And I told him what was going on. He says, "You know, this is a good idea. Let me run it up the flagpole." And within just about 3 months, they had incorporated it into our expansion plans. Well, we've been online with our church since about May of 2017. And let me tell you what, that has really, really been a real blessing for our church, man, because I tell you what, everybody's staying home during the COVID. We still can get online and at least, praise that way.
Yeah, we started doing the online thing back in March, I guess it was, when all this started, and we just kept it going, and we were really surprised at how many people it did reach, and I was telling you, I worked on a system in TR the last time we were talking a minute ago, and that's what it was for, at Reedy River over there. They had been doing it, but the computer had crashed, so I had to go help them get their audio back. They had video, but no audio for their stream, so that's what I worked on this past week. So it's getting to be a popular thing. I think there's definitely a reach there, and it's definitely a help. It doesn't hurt, and especially for folks that, just like your mom, you said, can't get out. That's excellent.
We generally have about, before the COVID, we had about 300 in each service. We run two services, and I'll tell you what, right now we're running about 150, maybe 175 for each service. But you know what? Our donations have actually stayed steady, and on a few Sundays actually gone up.
We started using something called Giblify. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but we've been doing online giving too for the last couple of months, and that seems to be working pretty good too. And of course, we've had to totally change the way we take up offering every day, so we put a plate at the front and people can walk up. That works too, but yeah, that's awesome. It's surprising what's out there you can do, and it's a help in many ways. KM4 VWA, W4 and WB Friday.
It's better than the alternative of California and New York trying to shut the churches down entirely. I mean, they didn't even want them having online services. I think that went a little too far.
A little bit of encroachment there. Yeah, that's not a good thing. But We're, oddly enough, we've been doing it straight from a cellular phone at our church, so we're supposed to get internet put in today, as a matter of fact. I'm looking forward to that, because now I can do security cameras and things like that, and monitor, and lots of other things.
Matter of fact, I've got a set of RioLink security cameras on my building down at Batesville Road in Greenville. Shoot, I can log on from anywhere in the world to see what's going on around my building.
Yeah, we've got software we use on the church computer for keeping the books, and you have to, it's online, but again, we do it with a cellular hotspot, so I've been glad to have a dedicated link for that, doing updates on a computer, and the virus stuff a lot easier, takes forever over that phone, but that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. But you know what? I tell you, this world of ours is real vulnerable. One good EMP attack and everything digital is gone.
Fire up my old Mohawk and Apache Bear in there. We'll keep going. My old 2 AM stuff. I got a bunch of heat kit stuff out in the shack outside that I get on every once in a while. It's been too hot lately. I don't have air conditioning out there, so I haven't been able to check in. It's just been too hot. But, yeah, I've got an old Apache AM transmitter and a matching Mohawk old heat kit stuff from back in the 50s. I've got the Warrior kilowatt amplifier, which I just got going over this past summer. I ain't got it hooked up yet. I've got a what I call my novice station. It's a DX60HR10 pair with a the matching VFO and a Marauder. If you've ever heard of one of those, that's kind of a rare one. It's a single sideband tube rig from back in that era, around 1958, 59, something like that.
I got to get you introduced to a friend of mine. He's been a ham since he was 14 years old, and he just recently bought some Collins tube stuff that he had when he was 14, which means that would have been 1968, 69, and he says that stuff is in perfect condition, and he loves that stuff.
It's too expensive for my blood, but it's very well known. Has been for a long time. I know a lot of folks who got some really nice stuff. Collins is very, very name worthy.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, it's quite expensive. He could have bought a Yaesu 991A and a couple of other things, a tuner or two, and had them brand new for what he paid for that Collins crap.
Oh, I got most of my stuff back in the late 90s, or mid to late 90s, and back when I was making good money. So now I've actually got more time to play with it. I've done some repairs and upgrades and some things I didn't have time for before. So I've made the trade, like we were talking about earlier, from no time and good money to lots of time and enough money.
There you go. And I'm going to tell you something, too. As you head towards 65, you get to that point where, wait a minute, you know, I've done my time, and I've got a few other things that I want to do. I want to go do some fun stuff. And all of a sudden, the have-tos start getting left by the wayside. Forget that business. I don't have to do that anymore.
I've been telecommuting some from work, and so on those weeks, it's been easy to do some chores around the house and, you know, take a break and get up and go do a chore or two. So I've pretty well caught up on my honey-do list for a lot of projects I had.
When I say I don't want to have to do that stuff, I don't mean honey-dos. When mama cracks the whip, it gets done. As a matter of fact, now there's been one or two occasions when I said, you know, I'm going to have to start my company back up so that I can get a break.
Oh, yeah, I understand. This is the first week I'm back, totally back all the time, so I don't have any more telecommuting. It's kind of nice. I'm glad to get caught up here. Lots of stuff to do. and I got a big project I'm working on to boot, so I'm glad to be back at work. Because, yeah, I understand that's kind of a trade-off, too.
I remember back a long time ago, probably about 2010 or 2012, after my dad retired, he'd call over to the office and say, in a real low voice, and, Steven, call back over here to the house and tell your mama you got to have some help. I said, well, what's the matter, Dad? Are y'all fussing? He says, no, he ain't fussing. She's just wearing me down to nothing. She's killing me. Call back over here.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good out.
It wasn't a year later that my mom called over to the office and said, Steven, call back over here and tell your father you need his help. He's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I imagine it works both ways. I know it has been for me and my wife. It was an adjustment. Now it's an adjustment again, not getting to see each other every day. So, I've kind of had a taste this year for sure of what retirement might be like.
Well, how do you like it?
I think I would ultimately get bored. I don't think I'll ever quit working. Not completely, anyway. I could see myself doing something. And like you said, doing it when I want to, not when I have to.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Bo, all of a sudden you get in there and you're doing the stuff that you want to do, and everybody finds out that you can do electronics and all this, and like at church, you're going to be very active at church with all that. And, hey, all of a sudden, your schedule's full even though you've retired.
That's kind of the way I am, too. I've got a friend of mine who's, excuse me, a luthier, and if he has an amp problem that he can't fix, he'll bring it to me. So I've got all kinds of irons in the fire. I've got, I've done four amps in the last couple of weeks for him, and the job down at the other church, because I have friends that just, like you said, just know by word of mouth, I do electronics. And you're right, you're always going to have plenty of work to do to keep you busy. I could see myself doing that and have on the side for, oh my goodness, forever, I guess. So, yeah, you always got some demand there. K4VWA, W4NWB Friday.
Yep. Now, tell me something, Bo. Do you, in your electronics experience, have you ever run across a Hunt-tron?
What's it called again?
A Hunt-tron.
No, doesn't sound familiar.
Cuff trace generator. It's a testing device, and I can walk through about any circuit, including ICs. I've never really tried it on a tube, but I don't think it really worked on a tube. But what it does is it throws out a generated signal, and every component has its own signature. And when you set it up on a component, it throws that signature back, and you can tell if that component's good or bad.
I had something similar to that. I'm trying to remember what it was called. I can't recall it right now, but I think I know what you're talking about. It's not exactly an arbitrary waveform generator, but it's something that's able to trace a signature, I guess you'd say.
Exactly. And I tell you what, I've got two of them, and I can walk through a solid-state circuit board and nothing flat with them things.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've slowly acquired pieces of test equipment over the years, but there's still a few that I don't have I'd like to have. One of the handiest things I've got, I mean, it's ancient, is an old HP impedance bridge, I think is what it's called. And there's all kinds of things you can do with it as far as checking passive components and even transformers and stuff, too. But there's one thing, I used to have one thing that I really need to find now is an oscilloscope. I hadn't had one of those in a while. I've got a service monitor, but I've got to work on it, too. That's another one of those to-dos that I hadn't got to. It's an old Huber, Huber and something, that's got a power supply problem I need to fix. It's got a scope built into it, but I hadn't had a scope in a while. which would be handy for, you know, checking for distortion and stuff in these amps that I work on. I have to kind of rely on just proper bias and the ear to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to, but that sounds like a pretty cool device.
Well, guess what I've got?
What?
Might be talked into letting you borrow.
What is it?
A Hammond at 40 megahertz.
Hey, that'd be plenty good for what I do. That would be great. I just need something that can handle audio mainly. I don't do a whole lot of RF with an oscilloscope. And that'd be great. I might peg you for that one of these days.
It's a real peach. Give me a holler and I might be talked into letting you borrow the thing.
That'd be great. I appreciate that, Steve. It's, you know, every once in a while you run into something where you got a little something that don't sound quite right and you need to figure out what's going on stage to stage. So, and you know how guitar players are. That's most of the amps I work on are guitar amps, old Fenders most of the time. And, you know, they crank them, make them distort, and then sometimes they want them clean. And I've got a guy now, I'm restoring a Princeton, little Princeton amp for, and he wants to add reverb to it, so I might add a tube to it to get to do that. But, you know, you need to see if what's going on sometimes to, especially if you got some distortion or something like that. That'd be great. I appreciate it, man.
On my X-ray equipment for are you familiar with the term high frequency generator? Because we take a high frequency, it's probably in the neighborhood of 10, 20, or 30 megahertz, and we do our digital circuit controls on those, on that frequency throughout the generator. And we control firing circuits with it. So that turns the X-ray machine on and off at certain levels with logic instead of with old contactors.
That makes sense.
I use that thing for, and I've never really run across anything greater than 40 megahertz that I couldn't do with this thing. It's pretty smooth, and it's a dual channel. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I got to go back and look. I've got my Hunitrons that I use, but if I'm not mistaken, I think there's a curve trace generator on that thing.
It's a Hameg.
Roger, Hameg.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. Yeah, I've got an O1. I don't know if you ever heard of those. It's the new Far Eastern version. They're really cheap. I got a digital on the bench at my shop for DOT, but it's I don't know. It's real cheap. It's like $200, and at certain frequencies, it gets noisy. It's got some noise in it I don't like. But it's kind of cool that I can hook it up through Ethernet and look at it through a remote, like a PC connection if I wanted to, but not a whole lot of use for that. And, of course, I can't use that. I'm not allowed to bring that home, but I don't know. It's a pretty good little scope. I thought about buying one. I even looked at some of the pocket ones that are kind of cheap, but I'm not sure I'd be able to see the trace that well. So, yeah, I'm a fan of the old traditional oscilloscopes.
Yeah, guy.
Hey.
I say you're an old TI guy.
Yeah. I've used a ton of HP and Tektronix, and as far as service monitors, I used to work back in the 80s on two-way equipment and paging and trunking and all kinds of stuff. We used to use, I don't know if you ever heard of IFR. You ever heard of them?
Well, TI for me means Texas Instrument. And I used to have a couple of old 465s. Man, I just flat wore them out. But what was that name you just threw out?
IFR, it's like instrument flight rules, except that's actually the name of the equipment. They're not around anymore. They've been bought and sold and stuff like that. But I used to use a lot of IFR equipment even when I did avionics and two-way stuff. I did avionics back in the early 80s.
You did not. Now, you don't fly, do you?
One of the things in my life I could kick myself for is I had the opportunity to get my ground school paid for by my employer. I actually worked for a company that was on the south ramp down there on the, at Greenville Downtown Airport, and I did not do that. So I have kicked myself the rest of my life for not doing that, and I never did get my pilot's license, although I used to fly with a friend. We go to Huntsville Ham Fest a lot of times, and he'd fly out and I'd fly back kind of thing, but no, never had my license.
My goodness. So now, what years were you down there on the South Ramp? What was that guy's name?
I worked for George Myler. His parent company was George Myler Incorporated. Then he had two divisions, and I worked for both of them. One was Mylertronics, and we built programmable controllers. And if it was electronic and it came through the door, we'd work on it. I had worked on a ton of different things that came through that side of the house. The other side of the house was Greenville Avionics. And that was where we did avionics. And we also had a an inspector of aircraft. He was appointed by the government. He did all our AMP stuff. And I used to help him when I didn't have anything to do in Mylertronics or Greenville Avionics. I'd go out and help him pull annuals, take inspection plates off, do compression checks, and that kind of thing. But that was in, I started there in February or March, somewhere around there of 80, let me think, what year was it, 83. Oddly enough, about the same time I started singing.
About that. Well, I tell you what, it's a small world, because more than likely, if you were on the avionics side, you worked on some of me and my dad's airplanes.
Well, what company was that?
We weren't a company. We were just private aviation. You know, we had some 172s, and we had a Cherokee 140, and we had, let's see, what else did we have? We had two different Moonies.
Oh, man, I love Moonies. I remember putting a storm scope in a Moonie once. It belonged to the guy that owns the McDonald's franchises around here. I can't think of his name right now. But, yeah, they built them things with the tail on backwards.
You're right, Bo. Hey, let me tell you something. They had a solid wing spar. They ran almost from tip to tip, and you couldn't break a wing off of one of those like you could a Cherokee 140.
My buddy had, he just retired and moved to Florida, and he had a little Cherokee, and that's what he had. But yeah, I used to like the Moonies. Those were nice, very nice. If I thought real hard, I could probably remember the guy's name. But yeah, I've worked on tons of those kinds of things. Lots of unusual planes, and the thing I used to like was I used to get to fly about once a month, you know, troubleshooting or calibrating or something. And that was a fun job. A lot of responsibility, but it was a fun job.
Listen, I gotta make a phone call really quick. I'll be right back in there in just a minute, okay? KN4 VWA, I'll be on the side.
Okay, Steve, I'm gonna go ahead and sign with you. I'm about to get to my destination here. I'm getting off 123, so hopefully catch you in a little while. 73s, be careful out there. KN4 VWA, W4 and WB, clear.
But I enjoyed the Keystone this morning, Dan. And listen, if you get in a spot where you'd like to try that scope, you just let me know, okay? KN4 VWA, I'm clear, if you're fine.
Okay, Steve, I sure will. I appreciate that, man. And enjoyed the chat. Helped my time pass a whole lot quicker heading up here. So hopefully do it again soon. 73s, KN4 VWA, W4 and WB, clear?